Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Genesis with Pastor Dave. In today's study, in the book of beginnings, we will see that it's easy to do the right thing and honor the Lord when people are watching, but it's a whole nother thing to do what is right when no one is watching. Now let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Genesis chapter 40. We hope you're blessed.
And my fellowship with him is restored, and I walk in the light as he is in the light. And so I repent of my sin, and my fellowship is instantly restored. If you're here tonight, real quick, before we move on, this is a tangent that I'll always go on. If you're here tonight, and your fellowship with God has been broken, and you are so tripped out, you are so confused, you are so lost, wondering, how do I get back to God? This sounds great, it sounds good, but I don't know what to do. I'm so far. I'm so deep in my sin. I've done everything opposite of Joseph. I've been wallowing in my woes. I'm angry at everybody else. I'm bitter. I'm mad at God. He hasn't been doing the things I've wanted him to do. How do I get back? Confess your sin. Agree with him about the sin that you are in. Get right with the Lord. Cry out to him. And in an instant, your fellowship that was broken will be restored. He's so incredibly gracious. And he's so incredibly in love with you. His mercies are new every morning, amen? His faithfulness fails not, doesn't fail. How awesome the Lord is. And there's this communication here. Back to the text. There's this relationship here. No Bible, no Holy Spirit like we have him today as New Testament saints. Just Joseph clinging to the revelations, the visions, the dreams that God had given him, the instruction that his fathers had taught him. And he's walking with his Lord. Isn't it unbelievable? It's unbelievable, too, how God will work with you, how he'll work in you, how he'll work through you when you cultivate that relationship with him. I want to be that guy that you can come up to and talk, call me, pop in. I'm not prepared. It happened yesterday. Happens to me all the time that you just come into my office, come up and see me in front, come up and see me in the foyer, and you speak to me. And because my relationship with God is so in tune, as you're speaking, I'm praying, which I do. Sometimes with some of you longer than others, but I'm praying. Ask God, just give me something to say back. And I want it to just be instant, just his wisdom pouring forth. You understand? That I can just speak a word into your life. I could speak God's word into your life. Not to glorify myself, but to glorify my Father in heaven and to help, encourage, build up the saints. This is what it's all about. Joseph, so in tune with the Lord. Joseph, so tight with the Lord. The very next verse, he interprets his dream. There's no delay. He said to him in verse 12, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches, they are 3 days. One more thing real quick before we see this. Every time you hear from the Lord too, it's never, well, I think this is what the Lord wanted me to tell you. No, it's everything yes and amen concerning the Lord. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is what the Lord has spoken. It's a matter of fact. It's not debatable. It's not up in the air. He says, this is the interpretation, verse 12. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee to the place that thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup in his hand. And after the former manner, when you were his butler. But think on me, he says in verse 14. Now we're kind of being let in on the humanity of Joseph, which kind of feels good because this guy's been like a super saint this whole way through. Now all of a sudden we kind of see what's really going on in part of Joseph's heart. He pleads in verse 14 with the butler saying, think on me or remember me when it shall be well with thee. And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. I'm going to hit on this more at the end, but Isaiah 2:22 is an important verse for us to know. It reads this, don't put your trust in mere humans. They are as frail as breath. What good are they? I'm going to exhort you real quick. In case you have to leave before I'm done, or in case you don't hear the end of this teaching because you're not listening anymore. Please do not put your faith and trust in man. When you put your expectation in man, they will always fail you to some degree or another. Joseph, in his humanity, did that. He said to the butler, listen, this, I'm sure of it. This is the interpretation of the dream. And once God delivers you, because when God speaks, it's going to happen. Once you're standing before Pharaoh again, once you're, you know, restored back to your rightful position, once you get there, remember me and tell the Pharaoh that, look, I mean, he goes on to say, he says, for indeed, verse 15, tell him I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews and that here also I have done nothing wrong and they have put me in the dungeon. Tell him what has happened to me. Tell him how I was wrongfully treated. Tell him I ran from Potiphar's wife. I didn't have sex with her. I didn't try to rape her. I didn't do any of these things that I'm being accused of. I'm innocent. Please plead my case before Pharaoh. You're one of his inside men. You give him his drink. You have an intimacy with him. You have his ear. Tell him these things. Would you do this for me? Seeking a favor from man. I'll come back to that at the end. And then when the chief baker saw that, verse 16, that the interpretation was good, that this man was going to be restored, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. And behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And in verse 18, Joseph answered and said, now the baker's probably standing there thinking, this dude is good at interpreting dreams. I like what he had to tell the butler. It worked out well for him. He's going to be out of this place in 3 days, being right back beside the Pharaoh. Everything is dandy, and he's smart. I would have been like the baker. Before I listened, because remember, they took the dream seriously. They believed what the interpreters told them. So let me hear what he tells the butler before I let him tell me what he's going to tell me. Let's see if this guy says good things, I'll go and hear what he has to say to me. But if he says bad things, I'm staying away. Well, he said good things, so he's probably sitting there all confident thinking, all right, man, tell me what's coming my way. Tell me how I'm going to restore. Tell me what good is coming my way. Now, you got to love Joseph because he speaks the truth. Even when it could potentially hurt him, he speaks the truth. You see, and that's what any solid, good Bible teacher will do. They'll tell you the truth, even if it might hurt their reputation. Even if it will make them not popular with man. Even if they'll be rejected by society, they're going to never swerve from the truth if they really love Jesus Christ. They're going to tell you like it is. They're going to call sin, sin. And that's what Joseph does. He says, listen, unfortunately for you, it doesn't work out the same. This is the interpretation, verse 18. The three baskets are 3 days, all right? I like it so far. Very similar. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head from off of thee, and he shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off of thee. Now the baker's got to be thinking to him, are you serious right now? Do you not realize the position that I am in when I do get out of here, that I am going to make sure that Pharaoh has it in for you? How could you tell me that that is what my dream means? How can you imagine the ridicule that Joseph faced? We don't get the commentary here, but you got to know the baker wasn't happy. This man was a man of prestige. This man was a man of honor, of prominence. He was the head cook, the head chef for Pharaoh over all of Egypt. And Joseph had the backbone to tell him the truth. You see, that's who God entrusts visions to. That's who God entrusts words of knowledge to. That's who God, that's when you know somebody is truly anointed of the Lord, when they're not always just tickling your ears and telling you things that you want to hear, but they're telling you the truth as hard as the truth is to receive, you see, because the truth is what's going to set you free. And so that's always a way to kind of mark a man in his ministry is, are they just telling me things fluff? You know, making me feel good? Am I always walking out of that church feeling good? Or sometimes do I walk out of that church feeling like I just got in a fight? Sometimes I walk out of that church feeling like, man, you know how you feel sometimes when a nerve is exposed at the dentist and they touch that nerve and that pain is so, it's terrible. Does your soul feel that way sometimes? You see, because the word of God is a two-edged sword that is able to pierce and divide us asunder, expose us. And if you're going to church, if you're visiting tonight, or you go to a church and it never takes place, something isn't right. The word of God is to convict you, to reveal to you your scenario so that you can get right with the Lord, so that you can be pleasing to him. Joseph wasn't afraid. He told him like it was, even if he was persecuted, even if he was threatened, you wait till I get out of here, you little Hebrew slave. I'm going to get you back for what you just said. It tells us this in verse 20. It came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all of his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, just like Joseph said. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But, verse 22, he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet, in verse 23, these sad remarks are made. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but he forgot him. Everything that Joseph said would happen, happened. But we're told here the very request, the very plea, the only thing he asked for in exchange from the butler, just remember me. Just plead my case. In essence, I'm putting my hope in you. I'm putting my trust in you. In essence, I'm looking to you as a man to deliver me from my pain, to deliver me from my suffering. It's a small favor. You are standing next to the Pharaoh all day long, every day. Your freedom should make you think of me. I'm the one who told you this dream. You should have no problem remembering what I've done for you. How could you forget? I didn't ignore you when you were sad. I came to you and I ministered to you. Do this one small thing for me. He forgot him. He completely forgot about Joseph. And not for a day, church. Not for a week. Not for a month, not for months, not for a quarter, not for four quarters, but for 2 years. He completely forgot about him for another 2 years. And what we see here, what we come to find out, and if you weren't to read ahead, if you were to stop here and close and be done, you too would probably be looking up at God and saying, God, how could you treat your servant like this? How can you, Lord, how can you do this injustice to such a just man? Lord, how is this right that you pay him back for his faithfulness, for his integrity, for his character that he's demonstrated, for the representation he's been to the world around him? Lord, how is this right? How in the world can you do this to your servant? Don't we do this in our own lives? You see, Joseph, just like us, he didn't know chapter 41. He didn't know chapter 42. In fact, he didn't know any of the chapters that were after this chapter. All he knew was what was before him. And this is the exact mistake that you and I make. We don't know the next chapter in our lives, do we? All we know is the here and now. All we know is what we're dealing with. We don't know who's going to be saved because of us. We don't know who's going to come to Christ because of us. We don't know who we're going to be able to help along our pilgrimage. We don't know who we're going to be able to minister to, encourage, strengthen, build up. And in our foolishness, unlike Job, as we're told in Job chapter 1, verse 22, we begin to charge God. And we begin to say to him, how can you do this to me? How can you say you love me? How can you, how can you not think of me? How come you don't care for me like you do everybody else? Why am I going through this? And in our foolishness, we begin to charge God. And my encouragement to you tonight, my exhortation to you tonight, as it is to myself, is that we would bite our tongue, that we would bite our lip before we regret too much what we say. Because the next chapter hasn't unfolded yet. And once we get to that chapter, or once we get to the end of our book, I guarantee you that we will be able to look back at God. And in all humility, we'll have to get down on our face, prostrate before the Lord, and say, Lord, forgive me for foolishly charging you. I had no idea how you were going to deliver me. I had no idea, Lord, how you were going to raise me up and make beauty from ashes. I mean, Lord, don't get me wrong. I knew that you said that's what you do, but I didn't know how you were going to do it for me. I didn't really believe you were going to do it for me. And you're going to have to go back and eat your words. You're going to have to eat humble pie, and you're going to have to get down before him and say, I'm sorry, God. How much better it is if we can just preserve ourselves from having to do these things, if we would keep our mouths shut and trust that all things work together for the good, for those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. If you are the called is the church. If you are in the church, if you are saved, not in this building, but in Christ, then everything that comes your way, everything that touches you will work together for the good. Nothing is done in vain. Nothing is an accident in your life. It's all allowed by the Lord. It's all ordained by the Lord. Just as he brought this baker and this butler into Joseph's presence, these people specifically went to jail for Joseph's sake. They went to jail for Joseph's sake is what we're going to see next week is the butler, after 2 years, eventually remembers Joseph. And Pharaoh comes and calls Joseph out of the prison to interpret his dream. And it's through that, through chapter 41, that we start to see Joseph's future become brighter. We start to see that vision unfold that was given to Joseph over a decade before this chapter. You see, it's unbelievable. What we see here at the end, what we see with the butler forgetting Joseph, this is divine amnesia. And the reason why I say that, and this is why you have to be good Bible students, is because of what Psalm 105, verses 17 and 18 say, commenting on these verses. Please listen. Then, talking about God, he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them. Who went to Egypt ahead of who? Well, it says Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with fetters or shackles, and they placed his neck in an iron collar. The Lord sent Joseph. Wait a minute. You're telling us, Dave, this is how we're ending the study, that you're saying the God of love, the God of grace, the God of mercy, he sent Joseph to Egypt? That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's what the scriptures say, that God sent Joseph ahead of Israel. What's the big plan? Let's stop for a minute. Guys, give me your attention for 5 minutes, and this will be over. You need to understand this chapter. I know it's not the most exciting chapter ever, but there's so much, any book in the Bible, any chapter, there's relevance, there's application. You have to understand the big picture here and how crazy and awesome God is, because it's so relevant to your lives. Listen to me. Here God is, and in his sovereignty, honestly, in his love and in his grace, he steps back. There's going to be some pain for a while. There's going to be some unhappiness for a while, Joseph. I understand that, but you're my man. And in being my man, there's going to be suffering. In being my man, there's going to be pain. Listen, if you're here tonight and you've signed up to be used by God, know that off the bat. There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some pain. But what is that to be counted for compared to the glory we'll receive in heaven? In any event, so there is. There's going to be this thing. But I'm sending you ahead of time to Egypt. And I'm sending you in a way that you would never pick to go. Your brothers are going to hate you. They're going to reject you. I gave you the dream, but they're not going to believe you. They're going to despise you. Believe me. Me, Jesus, I know a little bit about that. I know what it's like to be a prophet not welcomed in his own country. I get it. I understand. My brothers, my sisters, my parents, they didn't even believe in me before I went to the cross. I understand. You're going to go to Egypt. You're going to be sold into slavery. You're going to go to Potiphar's house. You're going to go into prison. You're not going to be released from prison when you think you are. This whole time that he is in prison, and he gives this revelation, this vision to the butler. And after the butler, he comes. The guards come and they release him. And that door opens. Joseph's probably thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to hear that door squeak in a few days myself, and I'm going to be set free. And those next 2 years, every day he probably prayed, God, save me from this pit. There's no way this is your will for me as your child to be suffering. You're going to get me out of here, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And every day that gate would open, he probably got so excited. This is the day I'm going to be set free. When we're told in Psalm 105 that God sent him there, God was going to keep him there, that this was no accident, that the butler forgot about him. Man, he's probably thinking, Lord, smite that man, that no good sinner. You know, how can he forget about me, Lord? You know, pay him back. Lord, you said vengeance is yours. Pay him back. Right? Don't we do these things? We're so stupid, aren't we? We charge God. We tell God what to do. We think we have it all figured out. All in the meantime, we're told by the Holy Spirit that God had him there. God ordained him to be there. And the very fact that the butler forgot was no accident at all. That was God in his grace setting the table, folks. That was God in his grace setting the table for the preservation of the nation of Israel and to prevent them from becoming extinct as a nation. That was God in his grace, because God was going to raise him up before Pharaoh, and that's what we'll see next week. Unbelievable. All this was taking place, and all for what? This is the point I was trying to make before I started choking to death. All because through Israel, who was going to come into the world? Jesus Christ. If Israel's wiped out, there's no Messiah. If there's no Messiah, Well, there's no heaven. If there's no heaven, we go to hell. You understand the problem, the domino effect that it has? If Joseph, one man, didn't suffer. So tonight, whatever it is that you're going through, as I invite the worship team to come up and lead us in this last song, I think you get the point. Who knows what God's going to do to glorify his name through our short time of suffering and pain on this side of eternity. We just have no clue. So hang on. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good medicine, a good remedy to get yourself through is to be others-minded. Look how you can help others through the process, through the pain. Instead of in your prayers telling God what to do, telling him how to do it, get me out of here, end this thing, I hate it, I want to be done. Instead of kicking and screaming, just let it be and find joy in his presence through the whole thing. And instead of telling what to do through prayer, allow him to tell you what he wants to tell you through prayer and say, God, here I am. Align my heart with your heart, Lord. I hate this. This is absolutely miserable. This stinks, God. I cannot stand it any longer. But Lord, if this is where you have me, as you told Paul, let your grace be sufficient for me, Lord, so that I don't ruin my witness and so that I don't ruin your name. Let me hang in there, Lord. Let me get through this thing. You see, no doubt, God made no mistake. Joseph was going to be the man he revealed him to Joseph that he would be one day. He just wasn't ready yet. It just wasn't time. God was shaping him. God was molding him into the image of his son, Jesus. And that's what the Lord's doing with you through each of your hardships, through each of your trials, through each of your pains. So hang in there. Keep going for the ride. And one day you'll be able to look back. And you'll say, Lord, that was nothing. Lord, that was nothing compared to what you went through and compared to what you're worthy for. I'd do it again, Lord. That's what you're going to say. There'll be no regrets. There'd be, Lord, I would do it again, and I would be in a deeper hole if that meant that I would glorify your name in a greater way.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride and hit the ground.